course. Isn't this a good day? Any day out of the office is a good day. All right. Thank you, Dave. Yes, my name is Andrea Plant. I'm a registered nurse. Woohoo! And I work for the healthcare slash accounting firm called Thomas Healthcare Consulting out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Anybody else here from Indiana? Nobody? Woohoo! All right. I know what you northern people think. I know. Anytime you hear somebody speaking from Indiana, you automatically think of nay, 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 right? Corby, that's right. But I work for a very small firm. We only have 6 employees. There's 5 accountants and 1 nurse. And what I always like to say about that is that the accountants have no idea what a fecal impaction is, but they all have one. Right, that's the joke. All right. I've been doing MDS consulting since that MDS baby popped out of the chute back in 1990. I do not consider myself an expert because just about the time you think you got hold of that MDS, they yanked it! When was the last time, and you know there's that big old manual that goes with the MDS, right? When was the last time it was changed? Yesterday! You think you got it, and they just, unless you didn't know that, the MDS training manual changed, just one page changed yesterday, okay, on hospice. So we're going to talk about that today, too. But anyway, just, so don't, there is no such thing as an MDS expert. You only can know as much as you know as of that day. So anyway, today is your day. Any and all questions are fair game. We're going to talk about planting good seeds. Isn't that cute? We're like farmers. We're planting good seeds today. Because it depends on the quality of the seeds that you plant and how you nurture those seeds if you get good products. But today's your day. Any and all questions are fair game. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to make one up that sounds really pretty good. You're going to think you're going to give me the answer. I'm going to make one up. You ask a question, you want an answer, I'll give you an answer, right? But today is my fifth presentation. This is the final one in your lovely state, and I counted up that since the 1st of June, I have spoken to 1,100 people in your state. Wow. Woohoo! So anyway, it's kind of scary. Anyway, but today's a good day. We're gonna talk about all kinds of fun stuff about the quality measures, the MDS, and so forth. So let's see who's in the audience today. How many people are the MDS coordinators? Woohoo! All right. Dietary. Woohoo! Social services. Woohoo! Activities. Woohoo! Woohoo! All right, you rock. You rock. The Dons, the D-O-N's. Woohoo! And you know what, Dons? You need to know as much about the MDS as the MDS coordinators do. Woohoo! How about administrators? And you're just not here for the CEUs, are you? No, you're not. No, 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 no. Staff development people. Woohoo. Floor nurses. Woohoo. Unit managers. Woohoo. ADONs. Woohoo. Maintenance. Laundry. Housekeeping! The cook! Anybody else so you don't know who you are, or I didn't mention you? Nobody! I got you all? Who's she? The secretary! Woohoo! Anything for a day out of the office! Woohoo! Alright. Well, today's gonna be a good day. First of all, let's talk about your handouts, just real quick, if we could do that. Everybody should have a binder that you got from out front, and you also, if you didn't get a chance, there's also some free handouts that are on the back table that iPro has supplied. Those are good things. We want to talk a little about those today as well. But your handouts are set up so that you'll see PowerPoint up here. Now, I've added some PowerPoint slides since I actually sent this to iPro, you know, 3 years ago for them to start printing. But so there's some things that I added, and that's okay. You can take notes if you like to. If you want to copy those slides, be more than happy to send them to you, but it's just a lot of background information, things that are going to help you along your way. And then we'll work our way through the manual. I'll tell you where to go whenever if we get to that point. But you'll see at the very back of your handout, so go to the very back, and you'll see a copy of the MDS form. Please take it out. I'll wait for you. This always sounds like popcorn to me. I get hungry right about now for that. It's like microwave popcorn, right? You wait till the very last one. Now you're doing that on purpose, I know. Don't make me come out there. All right. This is the copy of the MDS form. I have to always publicly thank Briggs. Woohoo for Briggs for supplying us with these MDS forms. Okay? This is we're gonna be looking at this throughout the course of the day. So this as an FYI, so I wanna take this out. And then the very last page or last pocket of the of your binder, you'll see a copy of the definitions of the quality measures. Boom. All right. Are you guys ready to get rocking on this? Woo-hoo. All right. All right. So what we're going to do today, what we are going to do, first of all, we're going to go through the new quality measures. Now, they're called enhanced quality measures. Why? Because something obviously changed with them sometime in January. So we're going to go through and talk about the 14 measures just briefly. We're not going to go into a lot of huge detail, but just enough to get us going. Then we're going to go through, oh my gosh, the MDS items that correlate with the quality measures. Because if you're not right from this point on, everything from that point is going to be incorrect. We'll talk a little bit about some data collection and then just a brief update on the DAVE project. So that's kind of how the day's going to be laid out, but usually the days never quite go like that. There's thousands of questions and we move forward from there. But with this process, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot beat chicken with the MDS. There's so much to know. And for those of you today, there's going to be about a dozen of you today that won't be chicken with answering questions or giving me great feedback. And for those 12 people, you will be rewarded with the Golden Chicken Key Ring. Here in my possession, I have a dozen Golden Chicken Key Rings. You will want to be one of those lucky people to walk home with this. And you'd be surprised what the people will do for this. I have people who are in New York City, they're all dressed up in their suits. And they come to me and say, what can we do to get a chicken? And I go, what will you do for a chicken? And I had people clucking, I had people dancing. You'd be surprised what you do for a golden chicken, all right? And just an FYI, I do want to share with you, because I think this is kind of funny, is that the very first time I ever spoke in the state of New York was last year. And it was for a different organization, and I did four presentations. The first three were upstate. I did Buffalo, Albany, and Syracuse, and those were fabulous. But the organization warned me. They said, now, you're going to be going to New York City, and the people down there are a little different. And I said, okay. They said, well, now don't be offended because, now the presentation went from like 8:30 to 3:30. They go, don't be offended, but when the New York crowd, when they've had enough, they'll just get up. We have our first golden chicken opportunity. Now how do you win a golden chicken is this. You have to raise your hand. I have to call on you, just don't shout out the answer. So here's our first opportunity. Number one, the true purpose of the resident assessment instrument is to do what? A, improve quality of care. B, ooh, reimburse providers based on resident acuity. Don't make me come out there. C, provide information for surveyors. D, provide information to consumers about the nursing home industry. Or is it E, all the above? Hand right there. This lady, what's your name? Chris. She says it's letter E. Is she correct? Yes. She is wrong. But for that, she still gets rewarded with a Snickers bar. Have some glucose, sister. All right. What's the answer? What's your name? Donna says letter A, is she correct? you were to talk about this instrument, most people think that the instrument is here for money, for something else. And that's kind of a sad thing. This instrument is here to improve quality of care. It's being used for all these other things, but this is the true purpose of it. So we're going to talk about that over the course of the day. And really, this presentation is as much for the directors of nursing here and the administrators. I do a presentation called MDS for Administrators because you need to know what's going on in your own building. And the problem is a lot of times people don't know, and they assume that someone knows what they're doing, and they're often surprised when things start to go wrong. All right. So, This is the face of an MDS coordinator after 6 weeks on the job. You stare and you wave. Have you seen this look before? Maybe you do that look. All right. Let's get started. Now this is not in your handout, so this is just more background information for you. So I want you to kind of sit back and listen to this. Because the problem is that if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, then you don't know where we're going with this. Well, first and foremost, the government wanted a way to improve care in nursing homes back in the 80s. But they weren't sure exactly how, but they did know one thing, that all nursing homes filled out some kind of an assessment. Dietary had one, social services, activities, nursing, everybody had one. But the problem was, is I'll bet you the dietary assessment at your nursing home isn't the same one that's at your nursing home. They're probably similar, but they're not the same. So how was anybody assured that you were assessing the elderly in nursing homes the same across the country? Well, they weren't. So they said, you know what? We're going to help. So born out of the new rules and regulations that were called OBRA, 1987, you had OBRA, the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which when I first heard OBRA, I kept thinking they were talking about Oprah. It's like, what's she doing here? Anyway, but it's OBRA, and you have to know that it's the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, but you have to know one thing, that these were the biggest rules to hit the nursing home industry since Medicare in 1965. These were sweeping changes, and born out of OBRA was something called the resident assessment instrument. It's not just the MDS. Everybody is so focused on the MDS. But it's actually an instrument, not something you play, but it's an instrument. It's federal tag number F272. And it's federal law. Now, I'm assuming that most of you, I'm hoping that all of you have or access to a copy of something called the State Operations Manual. Does everybody have, I mean, not just the directors of nursing and administrators, I'm talking about activities, dietary, social services, and I think even for the most part that your floor nurses and floor staff, any kind of staff, should be aware that these rules exist. Because these are the rules that run your nursing home. It's kind of like if I went down the street, went to Walmart and bought a gas grill, and there were no instructions in there, how would I put it together? I'd have to figure it out on my own. Well, these are federal rules that run the nursing home. And federal tag number F272 is called the Comprehensive Assessment. And it's almost always in the top 10 deficiencies in the country. Whenever they publish them about the top 10 there across the United States, almost always F272 is in there. But you're surprised. I'm always surprised that a lot of people don't know what the law says about the resident assessment. And if you don't understand or know the laws that govern your area, then you're going to die by these laws. Okay, because then you're up for any suggestion at all. But it's a federal requirement that this resident assessment instrument is done. Okay? Came out of OBRA of 1987. There are three components of this instrument. Can anybody tell me what they are? You know, it's kind of funny. A year ago August, I got to be the... A year ago August, I got to be the opening speaker. An opening speaker for the federal government. They have a super secret squirrel meeting once a year in Maryland someplace. And they take all the state coordinators, all 50 coordinators, and the federal government, they talk about MDS stuff. And so never can anybody from the outside go in there because we're outsiders, but they invited me in to do their opening motivational speaking because I come as a drill sergeant. I'm running an MDS boot camp. And so I come as a drill sergeant with the hat and the clothes and the attitude. And so they thought it would be cute to have me come do that, right? So I go in there, and I have six cadets that I'm running through an MDS boot camp, and it's the federal government, and my whole battalion out there is all 50 state coordinators. And so the very first question I ask them is this, I go, name the three components of the resident assessment instrument! And they couldn't answer the question either. And so I tell them, drop and give me 20! They're like, huh? They thought I was supposed to be cute. I was like, I'm doing push-ups. So anyway, what are the three components of the resident assessment instrument? Okay, right here, what are they? What does MDS stand for? My day shot. That's the first one. So hang on, she's not welcome. What's the second one? RAPS, which stands for what? Reams of additional paperwork. Now be careful on the last one because you're going to want to say something that begins with the letter C and you ain't going to be right. So what's the third? Care plan does not begin with a K. So what's the third piece of the instrument? Guidelines! Woohoo! So the first one is the MDS, the second one is the RAPS, and the third piece are the guidelines. This is an interesting part of the instrument. Woohoo, you get a chicken for that one. For knowing that. Oh. All right. And we're going to talk about this because, and you say, well, why are we talking about this background? And we're here to talk about quality measures today. Well, the reason why iPro is here is, and we're going to talk a little about iPro here in a little while, but they're here to help you improve care in your facilities. And that's the reason why I'm here, and that's the reason why you're here. You're out there to try and improve care for all your residents. Well, this instrument is doing just that. But the problem is when you look at the quality measures, or you look at the quality indicators that are pulled off from the surveyors, you're looking at information about your nursing home from the 30,000 foot level, right? You're looking at all these statistics. But the problem is that how do you attack those areas at the 30,000 foot level? Well, you go after them from the resident level. This is where you take care of, and you'd be surprised how many of the areas that this whole instrument looks at that are also part of your quality measures, i.e. pressure sores, right? That's a RAP, that's an area we look at. Oh, urinary incontinence, oh, that's something we look at. Oh, physical restraints, oh, that's something we look at. Delirium, oh, that's something we look at. And so this is where you need to invest energy and time, and education is here. If you understand this process, then the quality measures and the quality indicators will take care of themselves. Okay, so you have to first know this piece of these three pieces to understand how to take care of quality from the top level. So let's talk about this because this is the foundation of what you're doing. Take a look at the MDS form that you have. Bring it on out again, and we're going to take a look at that. Man, I need a drink. I could. Would you like me to? And no, the Diet Mountain Dew does not affect me. All right. First of all, the minimum data set. The one thing I do like about the form that you see here from Briggs is that it's color-coded, okay? This is a very nice form. I'll tell you why. And this is for anybody who's staff development. This is a great teaching form. You can call Briggs and you can say, hey, I want a 100 of these. And they'll give those to you for free. They'll stamp on there like a copy or something like that. But they're great, great forms to have. The reason why is they're color-coded. So, you know, if you look at the very front page, you'll see at the bottom there's all these legends. You'll see that there's a quality measure legend. There's a quality indicator legend. There's a trigger legend. And so these are all things that are color-coded. So if you kind of turn into a few pages and you'll see sections of the MDS that are shaded in pink, guess what? All the things that are shaded or blocked off in pink are those 108 items that deal with money. Then you'll see things that have black diamonds. Sounds like Lucky Charms, right? Red boxes, black diamonds. Then all of a sudden you're going to see that things that have black diamonds, and some of the black diamonds will be QMs for the quality measures. Some will be QIs for the quality indicators, like QI number 4 or QI number 19. It's indicative of what quality indicator that particular MDS item will influence. And then you'll see things on there, they have like little pink numbers by them. Well, the pink numbers are indicative of which MDS items correlate with the RAFs, or the areas that require further assessment. So this is a great form, because I'll bet you anything in your nursing home, staff will fill out the MDS form in the computer, whatever MDS software you have, and then they'll just print it out on just white copy paper, right? And you stick it in the chart, and no one has any idea of the power of this instrument. That look at all of these questions and look at the information. Look, they go all over the place. So this is wonderful for people who are either A, new to the MDS arena. Is anybody here new to like MDS? Is like new, how new?
Less than a year.
Less than a year. Anybody newer, like less than a, how new? 2 weeks. I have one piece of advice for you. Run while you can! Run! Oh. How about down there? How many? 2 weeks! Oh, actually, it's a very, this is a very important area, and so you stick with it because it has many high moments as well as a few lows, but anyway, you hang with this and it will prove to be very beneficial for you. But anyway, this is a great form because a lot of people have no idea when the nurses are sitting out there doing their documentation, well, you know, why do I do this all the time? Where does this go to? And you know what? It goes to a lot of different places. So this is a wonderful document to have as part of your orientation packet and even for administrators and DONs to know. And when I tell you that, I think the director of nursing that are people that are in here, you need to know this MDS form. This is not the MDS coordinator's document. And the problem is that, I'm going to get my soapbox now. This instrument has been ignored. It was ignored the first 8 years it was here. People blew it off. They could care less about the MDS. It wasn't until 1998, until it meant money, that people started to pay attention to it. And so it was ignored the first 8 years, and then all of a sudden, if you look at the questions that are on here, we're going to talk about some of these, is that it's like walking in the middle of a movie. You've missed that whole first half. Oh, start filling it out right now. And so the thing is that the way that you managed for the administrators that are in here, and you need to be managers of this process as well as the MDS people, but the way that you manage this process in your building of data collection and so forth, In 2004 is not the same way that you managed it in 1990. You can't have one person going around and doing an MDS for 5,000 people, and that's okay. Because that's how it was, right? You had one person that was doing it for everybody, and that was okay, that was cool. She could do it all, or he could do it all, okay? And so this is a team effort. And then this is the resident's assessment. It's not the MDS coordinator's assessment. This is the assessment that indicates who this person is. And it's a team effort, okay? And you want to make sure, too, that many, many people know this, not just one person. Reason being, I had that phone call a couple years ago from the administrator that the MDS coordinator went out for lunch and never came back. Okay, woohoo, right? Go out for lunch, never come back. And then they went to the evening shift nurse and go, hey, you're our new MDS coordinator. Everything goes right down the proverbial tank. Okay? So this is a team effort. You need to have many people know this. So let's talk about this instrument. You'll see that at the very top of the form it says version 2, which means at some point in time, you had a version 1. OBRA came out in 1987. But really, this instrument didn't make its debut until 1990. And just realize, too, that this instrument is just not filled out in the United States. It's filled out in 20 different countries. It's in Chinese, Japanese, French, Portuguese, Spanish, German. It's in a variety of languages. It's trying to become the international geriatric assessment tool. So anyway, so version 1 came out in 1990, around April or so. And the MDS, this is a collection of facts. There are 600 questions that are on here, okay? And we'll talk about this version, but the first version that came out, it was scheduled to change. The MDS was scheduled to change about every 5 years. Why? To keep up with standards of practice. When I graduated from Ball State University, anybody else Ball State? Okay. When I graduated from Ball State University back in 1980, When I graduated from nursing school back in 1986, okay, the way that I was taught to take care of a stage one pressure area, you know, the reddened area that doesn't go away, what was the course of action back then? Massaged it! You rubbed that baby, right? You promoted circulation to the site. What would they do to you today if you rubbed a stage one? They would chop off your fingers, one at a time. So standards of practice change, and so beautifully, in January 1 of 1996, you had a brand new MDS form that came out. That's cool. So within 5 years, you had a brand new MDS that came out. It was supposed to take care of some of the problems and keep it up to date and so forth. But as you can see right now, we're kind of behind the times. Okay, there will be another version of the MDS. But it's going to be in a lot of turmoil because there are many, the MDS right now serves many masters. And so that's the problem is that it's going to be much harder to change an MDS that many people have their want to revamp, and it's going to be harder to settle on a final product when you have so many people that are looking at it. But anyway, you have the second version of the MDS that came out in January of 1996. Woohoo, right? And it was going to take care of a lot of these problems. But there are 600 questions that are on this baby, okay? The MDS, as you look at this, let me kind of give you in a nutshell what this is. This is nothing more than a collection of facts. The MDS could care less about your opinion. There's a couple of questions that ask about your opinion, but for the most part, it's a collection of facts. Did this or did this not happen? Now, if you flip over, just before you do that, if you look at the first page, though, I do want to give you one little note. If you look at the bottom of the very front page, it says September of 2000. I just told you that this MDS was actually stamped January of 1996. So why would they have September of 2000 on this baby? What changed in September of 2000 that allowed them to restamp this? No? You know, she said they put the diamonds on there for the quality indicator and the quality measures. You know, she is so wrong. But she gets rewarded for that anyway! Woohoo! You want a turkey? Let me see your glasses for a moment. Let me see these.
They're pretty good. They're old ones.
Okay. You need to look at section D1 on the MDS. I'm joking. No, I was about vision. Anyway, but that's not... certainly they talked about quality measurement stuff back then, but they did something unique to this document, and not just Briggs. They didn't put the little diamonds on there because that'd be cute, but if they stamped it whenever they did something like color coding on there, then you'd have dates all over the place. But something very unique happened in September of 2000. Oh! They put some language at the very top of this document. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a big black body of text that is right in front of where people who author the MDS, who sign off the certain sections, it says, I certify under penalty of law that I will give the lower two-thirds of my colon, a kidney, half a lung, if I falsify this record. And you know what? Why did they put that there? Because that had really been the intent of this instrument all along, was that to make sure that, gosh, when you signed off on this, then you were taking credit for the accuracy before, but they just want, I don't think people realize how important this stuff was. This is not just some little blow-off document. I think it was kind of portrayed that way. It's just, oh, well, you know, no one cared about it. Well, you know what they said? You know what? This means something. And so we want you to realize that this does mean something. And it's important for accuracy. How many people in here would bet me that their MDSs and your facility are 100% accurate? I never get any money on that. Anyway, but that's what you're signing right here. You are signing that, to the best of your knowledge, that the information is accurate. And we're going to talk about that a little later on about data collection for this instrument, because that's what I do for a living. I do MDS consulting, and you'd be surprised how many people that you're not coding the MDS correctly. Because why? The MDS is a game, and you're not following the rules of the game. we're going to talk about that. But here, and this is classic, is that 600 questions, and if you look at the, if you flip over one page, look at the top of page 3 of the document, the very top it says, this is the MDS, blah, 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 but this is the status of the of this person over the last 7 days. Okay, so a 7-day time frame, so boom, you stick on those blinders, okay? This is not just kind of how they normally are, this is what the resident was like for the most part in most of these areas over a 7-day window. Now, there are some questions that say, what were they like over 14 days, over 30, over 90, over 180? There's even a question that says what they were like over only over 3 days. But for the most part, this is what they were like in that 7-day window. But here's the key piece. Based on its assessment, based on its definitions, okay? And here's the key piece is that if you looked at this, and if you're an administrator of the DON and you hand this to an MDS coordinator or hand this to anybody, social services, dietary, or anybody, the questions that are on here are not intuitive to the average person. They're not. I would have never learned these in school. This document is on-the-job training. There is no federal or state-mandated programs that you go to. They have that big old fat book. Did anybody bring your MDS manual, by the way? There's a big manual that it comes with this, and it kind of goes through, and it even has some things that always needs to be updated. As we found out, it got updated yesterday. But has anybody in this room ever read the entire MDS training manual? Well, then you are sick and twisted. You have no life if you read that thing, right? Right? You're sick and twisted. But I want to give you an example. If you please turn over to page 5 of the document, turn to page 5. I always use this. MDS coordinators, do not answer this question. Lower right-hand side of the page, you see section J1, health conditions. You see letter H, fever. Now, I'm an average nurse. What would your average nurse say a fever is? If I were to code, hey, in the last 7 days, did this resident have a fever? What's a fever? How would your average floor nurse indicate that someone had a fever?
2.5 degrees above normal.
That's not what you learned. But you learn at nursing school?
No, I learned it when I went into long-term care.
But would your average nurse know that? What would your average nurse know it as? Anything over 98.6, or if we have your physician's order over 100 or 100.5 or 101.5? The answer to this question is that a fever to the MDS is 2.4 degrees above their established baseline. So here's my question for you. How many DONs in here or the facilities, how many of you established baseline temperatures on your residents?
We do.
Because that, and administrators, whoo, that's important. Why? Because fever's in pink. That means it's money. Let me give you an example, administrators. If you mark on the MDS by itself that someone has pneumonia by itself over in section I2, that person will be classified in a RUG category of clinically complex. Now, if you code fever with pneumonia, bam, they go to special care, higher money. But you know what? Here's the question for you. You can tell me 2.4 degrees above your established baseline, but here's the question. I'm gonna be sneaky now. You ready? So, do you have on your physician's orders that you can give Tylenol with 2.4 degrees above their baseline? Oh, why not? So you'll take credit for a fever on the MDS, but so if that person's baseline was like 96.3, and you coded as a fever on the MDS at 98.9, but you don't give Tylenol to 101, so I'm going to say, so they have to be bubbled in their own juices before you medicate them?
No, our orders say for fever or pain.
So, but the question... So that's the key, is that, so just as an FYI for you, so if you say, I know it's 2.4 degrees above that, but what do your physician's orders say then? But that's key. Most nurses will not know that it's 2.4 degrees above the established baseline. Now, look next door to number 6, and there says modes of transfer, the next column over. You see the very first one that says bed fast all or most of the time. So what is bed fast? I mean, come on, I went to school. I learned bed fast, bed bound, bed rest, and bed ridden. So what's bed fast? No, that's what, no. What does the average person know is bed fast? They're in bed. So if you were to you don't learn what bedfast is, you look up your little Tabor's definition, and they're resting in the bed. Bedbound, bound in the bed. Bedridden, ridden in the bed. They're in the bed, right? Bed rest is resting in the bed. Bed, 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 bed. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? Okay. But not to the MDS, right? Because it's 22 hours or more of the day in their own room, in their bed or recliner. They can even have bathroom privileges, but it has to be 4 out of 7 days. Who wrote that? Because that's not what I know. That's not what bed rest is, what I know bed rest to be. And this MDS is full of that. It's full of its definitions. And so here's a question. This is always a fun question to ask, is that for the administrators in here, for your DONs, how many of you have ever tested your MDS coordinator or any tested any of your department heads on what they know about their sections of the MDS? How many people have ever been tested on what they know and have passed the test saying, I know how to code these sections and I passed the test? Look around the room. We got a couple. Woo-hoo. But you know what? That to me is key, because you just can't rely on somebody knowing this stuff. I am a huge advocate for competency testing. You should be tested on what you know. What's your name? Jennifer, what part of the MDS do you do any part? She does a lot of it. God love her. Hang on. So, but how do I know that Jennifer comes in, maybe she's coming in new to my building, and she goes, I can do these sections of the MDS. I've done them in the past. I've done them in the past. You know what? I'm not going to believe her until she passes the test. There's an MDS coordinator in Ohio who will not let anybody author any section of the MDS until they pass an 8-page test. You are not allowed to touch that document until you can prove that you know how to do that. And that is the philosophy that you need to adopt. Because you just can't assume that someone knows this stuff. Now, when Dave was saying, I'm not sure if any of you know about this organization, it's called ANAC. It's called the American Association of Nurse Assessment Coordinators. It's a national organization that was started back in 1999 to help educate and support MDS people. Well, I've been speaking for them, and they have like over 5,000 members. I'm like member 109, woohoo! Anyway, but they were looking for master trainers for the MDS because they were going to put on courses. And so what happens is that they called me. They go, hey, Andrew, would you consider being a master trainer? Now, I knew that they had to take a bunch of tests to get a little certificate. And I figured that since they were calling me, they were going to, like, alleviate me from that, right? They were calling the big A. They were calling me, right? I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe I can find the time to do that for you. Thinking that they would not let me do that, right? But they go, oh, no, I have to take those tests. So I had to take a series of 10 tests on coding and scheduling. And so I took all these little tests and I passed them with 80%. I was like, woohoo, I'm a master trainer, I'm Yoda now. And they go, oh no, not yet. You have to do one final thing. You have to go through an oral exam. I said, you're going to look at my teeth? They're good. They go, no, we're going to have people call you and ask you any question pertaining to the MDS. And you know what? That scared the life out of me. And that's my job. And so what did I do? I got wind of that on this Thursday. And over the weekend, I read that for 12 hours. I read everything. I get my hands on it. I read the stupid manual again, blah, 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 blah. And you know what was surprising to me the most is how much I had forgotten. You know, even me. I look at this all the time. And I read sections like, man, I forgot all about that. You know, if you don't use something or be tested on it, then you're going to lose those skills. I took 3 years of Spanish in high school. Me llamo Andrea. Taco bueno. That's it, folks. That's it. 3 years down the tank, right? So what happened was is that they called me on that Monday morning, and for an hour and a half, they grilled me. Okay? 212 possible questions. Right? I missed one and a half. However, if they were asking the same question, now I missed 200 of them. But the key about this is that testing is a good thing. It made me restudy. It made me dive into this stuff. And so you want to adopt the process where, and you know, Darren, there's no magic formula. You have to go out and buy a test. Create your own. Open up the manual and do certain questions on certain sections of the MDS. True and false, multiple choice, fill in the blank. Test your staff. Don't assume they know what they know until they can prove it to you. Because this information is where it goes, you'd be surprised. Okay? So you want to know that someone knows 2.4 degrees. And the key is about this, I'm going to get my soapbox just one more time here and I'll let it go. Long-term care nursing is a specialty. But you know,